Shalom and good morning, everybody. Welcome to Church of Our Savior. Please have a seat. I want to welcome all of you. My name is Daniel. If you are new to our church, I'd like to welcome you to our community. You know, we are still limited in how many people can come back to church, but we are very happy to be back. Amen. Okay, I know some of you are late workers. Are we happy to be back? Okay. Those of you online, you just saw how excited they are. Man, I hope they really saw how excited you are, all right? But I want to welcome those of you joining us online as well. I know many friends, as well as our church members, are following this morning's service, and this is our Resurrection Sunday service. It's part of the Holy Week, and this is a really important week, obviously, because this week stands at the center of our Christian hope, faith, and our aspirations. When we look back historically, 2,000 years ago, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, right, as a king. And shortly thereafter, he was arrested, he was put to trial, and he was condemned to die a death of a criminal on a cross on Good Friday. Or at least on that Friday, before it was a Good Friday, he was crucified on Calvary. He died on that cross in order to bear our sins. Your sin and my sin. He paid the price. He bought the ticket so that you could be with God. And that made it a grand Friday. It was a great Friday. So this whole week, historically, has been the evidence, if you like, of Jesus, who not only thought of us, but He came for us. He came for you and for me in a certain point in history. Not only that, He proved His love for us by going the whole way. He went all the way to the cross and died for you and for me. In the words of John chapter 3:16, words that we know so well, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God doesn't want to condemn us. Rather, He loves us. And because He loves us so very much, He sent His only Son for you and in history. So you can look back in a particular point of time in history and see that Jesus came. He came for us. Now, eternally, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, you will see that He did not come for perfect people. He did not come when you and I were ready, we got our act together, you know, we are all nice and good and clean. He didn't. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that God demonstrated His love. He didn't just talk about His love, He demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, and we have to acknowledge that we are sinners, right? We are fallen. When we have the time to introspect and reflect on who we really are, I think we cannot escape the fact that we are sinners. But it is while we were yet sinners, not after we had overcome ourselves, you know, bit the bullet and pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. No, while we are sinners, Christ died for you and for me. So, eternally, this week is a reminder that Jesus, who was hung on that cross with His hands outstretched, still has His arms outstretched for you and for me to welcome you and me back into a relationship with God. So historically, He came. But eternally, He invites, He reminds you of this amazing love, the constant outstretched arms of God. Now, I know we are Singaporeans, right? You know, and we are not much for historical stuff, for poetry and all this stuff. We are very pragmatic, sometimes even skeptical people. And we want to know not just the historical, not just the eternal, but for Singaporeans, it is the temporal. It is what happens now. We want to know what has all that 2,000 years ago or whatever it is in the future got to do with me today in 2021. And I can understand that because we live in a world where, you know, I mean, we are surrounded by such amazing science and technology. It's gotten us so far. We accomplish incredible feats with our inventions, feats of information, telecommunications, medicine, travel, even space travel. And one could not blame you if for all these things that you see around, you might come to the conclusion that, well, the cross has become irrelevant. Right? It's no longer relevant. That's some historical thing. Science has rendered God obsolete in our lives. And this is not just a modern way of thinking. Human beings have always had this predilection towards self-reliance and independence. We don't want to think that our lives are out of our control, right? However, there comes a point in all of our lives when we run up against a problem so big that we cannot surmount it. All of our lives, some crisis, a circumstance so great that the best of our intellect, our experience, and our efforts all come up short and we are left without answers. I wonder if you have been through such a moment in your life, a moment when everything that you can muster up just isn't enough. When all the answers, this moment of crisis, remind us that we are frail, that we're human, that we are mortal. We are confronted with our mortality and our finitude. We are finite. And what that means is that, you know, all our accumulated wealth and wisdom and resources has a definite limit. We are not gods yet, some of us will say, right? And there's no more stark reminder of our mortality than death itself, So as we go about our daily lives, we don't normally want to think about death, right? Nobody go around thinking, I'm going to die all the time, except unless your exam is coming, right? But most of us don't think of dying all the time. But last year we were thinking of dying all the time, right? And now with all the jabs, some people are still thinking about dying all the time. But you know what? As we go about our lives, trying to push this thought out of our minds, death, nevertheless, holds the power to stop any and all of us in our tracks and demand our surrender. When Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, He accomplished great miracles, healing the deaf, the blind saw, the lame walked. But on Friday, on that dark Friday, when He was hoisted up upon that cross and His life poured out for all of us, it would appear that death had claimed another victim and another victory. Like every other human being in history, the grave would put a final full stop and turn the page on us. But this is Jesus, right? He made history. Because in John chapter 20, verse 1, we are told that early Sunday morning, on a morning like this, not this time, earlier, right? The Bible says, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb where Jesus lay. I think that's a great picture because the Bible says, while it was still dark. And maybe for poetic reasons, but so often we find God while it is dark in our lives, when things are not going well in our lives. In fact, most people don't search for God when things are going well in your life. It is only when things are not going well. So while it was still dark, Mary goes to the tomb, and what does she find? She finds there that the stone that covered the entrance of the tomb had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty. Death stands today, not just as the end of our human existence, but as a symbol of every unconquerable obstacle, the final nail in our hope. When Jesus rose from that grave, He was rejecting that finality. He was refusing to give in, to throw in the towel, to surrender to His circumstances. He reclaimed the pen of history in order to write for you and for me a new beginning and a better destiny. In other words, the victory of the Son of God that day has become your victory and my victory and the victory of everyone whose faith is in Jesus Christ. When we have exhausted all of our intellect, all of our resources, our willpower, and even our emotions, when we find ourselves without an answer, Jesus became the answer on that resurrection Sunday. When life shoves a big no in your face, Jesus became God's unstoppable yes for every one of us by faith. So this empty tomb reminds us that God exists beyond human comprehension, beyond our understanding, and definitely beyond our control. And yet this same God, He loves us and He wants you to know Him. He wants you to put your faith in Him. Now you're thinking, 2,000 years is a long time. And it is, I agree. It is a long time, right? But Jesus being risen did not stay in history. He is actually present here today. God tore through the fabric of the universe in order to step tangibly into our lives today. Now, I know you're Singaporeans. You say, but how do I know that, right? I mean, that's us. How do? Well, I want to share with you something amazing that happened just last week that perhaps will remind you of the tangible presence of God. Last Sunday, of course, it's Palm Sunday. Many of you will remember the palm. If you came to church, you will have your palm, right? Some of you still have your palm at home. My wife took a lot of palm back. Now my house is like a jungle. No, just kidding. She's sitting here, right? But, you know, we were celebrating and Pastor Andrew was preaching. I was sitting there in my usual spot, you know, A23. And what happened was, during the service, I was getting all these messages on my phone. That's why I brought my phone here today. I was getting these messages from my phone, and turns out that a sister of our church member had was in hospital and needed prayers. And it turned out that the Wednesday before, so that was Saturday, that's right, Wednesday before, she had had a stroke, and she had been declared brain dead. And they wanted me to go to ICU to pray for her. Now, it was a busy day. Saturday is usually a very busy day for me. And I was, oh, what am I going to do, right? Brain dead already. What am I going to say? Lazarus, come forth, right? Not exactly the normal prayer, right? But I felt moved in my heart that, you know, maybe I should go. This is, after all, the Holy Week. I should go. Although I'm not quite sure what to do. So immediately after the service, I didn't want to talk to anyone. You know, I went in the car and went straight to the hospital. I had to wait quite a while because, you know, in ICU nowadays, they only allow two people in at any given time. So the brother and me were getting ready to go in. The family came out, the husband came out. We were going in. So we went into this ICU, and there she was, lying on the bed, tubes coming out. She had a hole cut out of her back of her head to decompress the brain. She had a stroke. They could not remove the clot because it's too deep in the brain. And I was like, deep breath. I guess now is when I do the pastorly thing, lah, right? You just pray your pastorly prayers and say something that's somewhat meaningful. You know, they don't actually teach you what to do in Bible school for these kind of things, right? They don't have a class on what to do when people are have died and you pray for them. So I just finished my prayer and I said to myself, I said, okay, maybe I should just keep quiet for a little while, the pastorly thing. And after that, I say, maybe we can go, right? But before I could say that, I looked up and there was a monitor. And the monitor was showing all the vitals, right? The heartbeat, the blood pressure and everything. As I looked at that, I felt God was speaking to me, Daniel, I want you to pray for her properly, right? With the pregnant pause. Pray for her properly. I was like, huh? Properly? God, I didn't pray for her properly just now, man. So, but you know, okay, if you say so, Lord, I will pray for her properly. I may not get it right the first time, but I will get it right the second time. So I kept my eyes on this monitor. I was thinking, what am I going to... I didn't bring oil, right? Anointing oil, sprinkle some oil. I didn't have any of that. I was just scrambling. What words should I say? What is praying properly? So, that moment I remember Joel. Joel says, you know, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. So, I spoke to her. I called her name and said, if you can hear me now, I want you to call on Jesus now. I want you to call on the name of Jesus now. I said like this, all right? With my eyes looking on the meter, on the monitor. And you know what? When I finished saying that, call the name of Jesus now, all the alarms in the room went off. Beep, 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 beep. And the screen all went red color. The blood pressure was up. The heartbeat was up. I was looking at their trip on some wire, right? To cause people to, you know, again. Now, she's been brain dead. She's been kept alive by all these machines so far, right? And then I looked, and she was like, it looked to me like she was moving. And I was, huh? Are you sure, right? maybe I'm imagining, we're preparing for resurrection, we think about these things too much. Then the brother said to me, did you see that? I think she was trying to move. I thought, yeah, I think so too. I think she was trying to move, right? And I was very hopeful. Not sure what to do. We left. That night, they told me that she's really starting to show signs. And on Friday, they wrote to me. They updated me. We are getting updates every day, so I'm not going to read everything to you. But on Friday, they wrote to me. They said that, well, you know, doctor says that the clot is disappearing in her head. And, okay, clot beginning to disappear significantly. She's yawning. I think we can safely say she's not dead, right? Because, you know, I mean, when dead people yawning, I don't think that's a thing you want to have. And yesterday morning, it says, this morning, so-and-so responded to our calling her to open her eyes. I was beside her. I asked her to look at me. She moved her eye and she moved to her left and looked at me and blinked her eyes. She was moving. Wow. You know? Yeah, we can give God. The victory of the Son of God is not just a historical matter. It's not just an eternal matter. It is a temporal matter. It is available here and right now. You know, I share this with great trepidation, right? Partly because the last time I share about, you know, praying for all those people who want children, there were so many people coming to me asking, Pastor, please pray for us to have children. I mean, God does amazing things, but I certainly don't want to have the whole funeral parlor coming to me now, is it? But I want to say, it's not me. Jesus, who is alive, is able to deliver and save us today. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, here's where we come to that final crunch, isn't it? Because if you're not a believer today, I want to tell you this. Because I want to tell you this now. I don't want to wait until I have to go to the ICU to tell you when you're brain dead. Okay, so now while you're only half dead, I want to tell you this thing. If you haven't done so already, call on the name of Jesus now. Today, call on the name of Jesus. Because you might be facing some mountain that's insurmountable in your life. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. This God is not just some figment of our imagination. It is not just a historical footnote. It's not just a philosophical, theological, or even a moral idea. He is a living God who is present today. So for everyone who is in this room, gathered here today, you've never called on Jesus before. You never believed Him before. Or perhaps you're watching from home. And you are in that situation. Maybe God is speaking to you. And you've never called. Today, this is my recommendation to you. Call on the name of Jesus now. These are the words I said to her. And these are the words I'm saying to you this morning. And if this is you, you say, Pastor, that's me. You see, when I came out from that place, I spoke to the husband, who's not a believer. I said, look, you know, you have the best doctors, the best hospitals, the best opportunity. They did everything they could to no avail. You might as well call on Jesus now. What have you got to lose? You got nothing to lose. Why don't you call on Jesus too? I kind of told him something like that. And I'm saying that to you. What are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? I don't know, man. You know, there's nothing to hold you back. God loves you. He's forgiven you. He's calling for you to put your trust in Him. Now, if that's you today, I want to give you that opportunity right now. Right? Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you're ready. Don't wait until you're old. Certainly, don't wait until you're in ICU. But right now, if that's you, I'm going to give you that opportunity. In a moment, I will count to three. If that's you, what I want you to do is I want you to raise your hands, all right? So I want to ask everybody to close your eyes right now. And if you're at home, well, you can close your eyes if you want to and just listen to my voice. I'm going to count to three. One, I want you to get your hearts and your hands ready. Because this is really an amazing moment that may not always come for you. Two, this is my final count now. If that's you, you say, I want to call on the name of Jesus today. Right? If that's you, on this last count, I want you to just put your hands up as high as you can. Those of you who are at home, you know, I can see you. No, I can't see you, but God can see you. Three, just put your hands up. Yes, I see that hand already. Just put upstairs, I see those hands, right? Just put your hand up wherever you are. I see the hand back there. Anyone else? You never called on Jesus before. Today is the day. Yes, I see upstairs. All those hands upstairs. I see every eye closed, no one looking around. Just put your hands up as high as you can, right? Yes, I see all those hands. Yes. All the way back there. Yes, I see you. Yes. And God sees you. And those of you at home, you know, by faith, you lift up your hands and God will see you. I want you to put your hands down right now. I'm going to pray a prayer for all of you. Dear Lord, living Jesus, who is powerful today and reigns today as King and Creator of the universe, Lord, you see all these people who are turning their faith and their hearts to you. Lord, we know that relationship with you is not something that can be comprehended, understood by the cleverness of our mind, but only experienced as we step forth in faith. And all these brothers and sisters today are taking a step of faith to believe in you, to call on the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, today, will you forgive them as you have forgiven all of us of our sins? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Open the gate of glory so that they may walk through it. They may enjoy your victory over death. Father, I pray right now, wherever they are, whether at home or here in this hall, you will do something amazing. You will let them experience your reality, Lord. You come into their lives. You step into their world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, even as they begin this journey in you. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Now, you know, that's going to be probably, wow, really praise the Lord, all right? Now, that's probably one of the most important decisions you have made in your life. You see, death used to be the full stop. It's the end, right? But Jesus made it a comma. From what was an ending, he turned it into a new beginning. So you have just begun a brand new journey. And we would like to celebrate with you. It's like your birthday, right? We want to celebrate with you. So I'm going to ask you to do this. Now, before you go today, please come and talk to one of our pastors. Let them know you've raised your hands, you've taken a step of faith, and we would like to connect with you more, get to know, celebrate with you. All right? Something exciting. And now, if you are at home, well, you know what? We would like to come to your house also, but no, actually, we want you to send us a message. Send us a text, send us an email, even give us a phone call. Let us know that you made a decision. Okay, some echo here. You made a decision so that we can follow up with you. All right, we can get to know you. And when the time is right, actually, they're going to allow a lot more people back in church. I heard about 750 soon, right? So we would love to have you come here together with the family of God and celebrate your new life together. Amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together one more time? Praise the Lord. The power of the risen Christ. Shall we stand together as we sing this song, right? Let's sing this song.